This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hey, it's Glenn here, and we're doing a special Horses in the Morning episode from Rolex. It's episode number 1417A. We're going to put this out on Saturday, but we're recording it Friday afternoon because we'll all be out in the cross-country course on Saturday. And I have my good friend, Dr. Timothy, here. Hey, Timothy, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, I'm wonderful. How are you this fine day?
It's good to see you for the second time on mic today.
It's fantastic to be doing horses in the morning, in the afternoon, and not on a Tuesday, but on a Thursday for Saturday instead of Thursday.
That's right. But we knew we could round up a bunch of horse husbands here. And, of course, we have Brian Rutledge, because you can't do a show at Rolex without Brian Rutledge.
And of course not.
Of course not.
And yeah. Brian has been my Rolex horse husband Sherpa.
Oh, is he like your guide, your guru?
He is, because, you know, I'm still sort of new to this scene, and I haven't been to Rolex as many times as Brian has. I don't know everybody, and so Brian has been able to round up some fantastic...
Brian knows freaking everywhere.
I know everybody, yeah.
So he's been able to round up some excellent guests for us. We'll have an opportunity to meet a lot of people, many of whom I don't think we even know yet.
Yeah, right.
I'll tell you, I either know them or they know me, and I have no idea who they are. So, I mean, I have lots of people coming, but hey, are you Brian Colleen's husband? It's never Brian. It's Colleen's husband.
Well, in case you haven't figured out, it is Colleen's husband. Colleen Rutledge's husband. Hey, did she ride yet? What's the story?
Yeah, she went. She just one of her horses had to withdraw. Her big horse, Covert Rights, had to withdraw. But she's got her new, hopefully, 4-star horse, Escott 6 Monkey. We call him Monkey because he can get into anything. And he eats bananas, and he loves bananas. We call him Monkey. Yeah.
How is he with feces? Does he throw his feces?
No, he's fine with that.
He's fine. Okay, he's not that kind of monkey.
No, he's not that kind of monkey.
Did she ride already?
Yeah, she rode already.
Okay, how'd she do?
It's all right. He's not great at dressage, but he's a super jumper. So yeah. You know.
So she's just waiting for tomorrow.
She's just waiting for show
Let's
jumping.
Face it, we're all waiting for tomorrow.
Show jumping. He's amazing at show jumping, and yeah. So I mean, he's up there pretty high, but it's okay.
When you get to about the middle of the second day of dressage, all of us horse husbands get a little antsy. I mean, let's face it. We're all just waiting for tomorrow. This can't get over fast enough.
Yeah, and she'll be like 15th to go tomorrow, so it'll be over pretty quick.
Where do you go to watch? Do you try?
I go, it's like the first and last water. It's right out from the stalls. It's the best place for me to go. I don't have to walk all the way down there, and I can get pictures of her coming and going both ways. So
there are a lot of waters this year.
Five,
as compared to what was it last year?
There's usually three.
Three,
yeah.
There's five this year. I actually walked the course this morning when I got here. Yeah, I wore the wrong shoes. We talked about that before. My feet are still soaked. I walked the course this morning, and it's Rolex. But again, I've been to Burley.
Doesn't have the pretty house in the back.
Pretty house, nothing like that. But it's cool course. Long. Yeah.
So you're not the only Rolex veteran with us today. We have on the show also Chris Raubacher, who is horse hubby to
Becky Raubacher.
And you guys have been doing some excellent business with your Animals to Wear company. How's that been going for you this year?
It's been great. This is our 23rd year here at Rolex. We're up in Sponsors Row now, and
Up with the big boys.
Yeah, it works out really well because Becky can then just go out on course and start drawing. So she'll be out there, weather permitting, tomorrow. Though I think they're setting up a 10 for her, somewhere around 14 jump. So so then the drawings will be in the booth afterwards, and those drawings will then go on the new apparel for next year.
Has Becky ever drawn Colleen?
I think she has.
Well, certainly. Have you seen these pictures?
I've seen the
product.
Yeah, I've seen the product, but I don't know if I've ever seen anything. If she hasn't, I mean,
I'm
if
sure she
did,
has.
She probably did Shiraz, which was her horse that went around the world. a few times, and he's just a super jumper. So
yeah, she probably has, because if you go through the sketchbooks, she has a spotter with her when she's out there, and they tell her who's coming next. So then it gets written down on the top of the drawing, just who it is and the horse's name.
It's always surprising to see what sort of the way in which your wife ends up being depicted. I know I came into Rolex on Thursday, and I walked in to visit one of my wife's sponsors, and at her booth was an oil painting of Elisa created by some fan. I don't even know what her name, like, it wasn't signed or anything, but there it was, a beautiful oil painting of my wife there, you know, and nobody tells us. You don't know what sort of art has been created, inspired by your wife.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And then we did the 2,300 shirts for the Rolex for the volunteers this year. And Becky can look at every drawing and tell you just who it is. So it just blows my mind how quickly and adapt she is at pulling it together on course when they're going by.
It was good to see her yesterday. I hadn't seen her in a while, so it was good to visit with her yesterday.
So
that was fun. You are in a good spot up there.
No, it's a perfect spot. And we get a lot of just walk-bys, people going by, and the bars are closed. So it's we get quite a crowd up there.
That always matters.
It does matter. It's very important.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially about 6
if you're close to a bar, you do bigger business.
Yes, absolutely.
And we have our own bar in the tent also, so that it's even more of a plus.
And the bar opens when? You don't have to say.
4:30. So, yeah, it works out nicely.
Well, thank you for stopping by and saying hi. Animalswear.com, right?
That's right. Animalswear.com, and we're up on Sponsors Row all weekend.
You know what? I have never seen a drawing of a radio host yet at Animals to Wear.
Can we get this happen?
Can you have her come down here and draw us quick?
I can make it happen at the right price.
All right, good. A nice sort of action shot
of
Glenn sitting in front of a camera.
I'll send her down for that.
Okay.
Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Take care. Why don't we get these guys in here before they have to run?
All right, I'm out of here.
Are you leaving?
No, I'm going to stay here.
All right, good.
Kidding.
Yeah,
I'm just
hang around.
Get up and let them sit down.
Hang around. We'll let them sit down. I know they're they got a schedule. Josh, you're going to hang around too?
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
All right,
Josh,
good.
We haven't met.
Yes,
Timothy Harfield.
So, guys, introduce yourselves. Help us out here.
Well, I'm Jim Blyskull. I'm Allie Saxon's father.
Ah, Allie, cool. Yes.
I'm married to her. I'm Sam Saxon.
So we've got a horse hubby and we've got a horse pappy. Is that a term?
This is Allie Saxon, right?
Yes.
Yep. And I'm going to put a plug in here because we are sponsored today by Bates Saddlery, Bates Saddles, and Allie's a Bates rider.
She did a cross-country walk this morning, sponsored by Bates.
Yeah. So we're glad to have you guys on. We were supposed to have her on the show last Monday, and unfortunately, her horse came up lame. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was real unfortunate. We were about 12 hours from leaving, and everything's packed up, and she decided to jog the horse, and her mother didn't see anything. I didn't see anything, but she swore she saw just a little something that he was off, and she called our vet. He came out real quick, and he did a bunch of stuff. Eventually, did a little ultrasound and found a little something, and he just had a little twisted ankle, but enough. He said, you can come down, get through jogs, get through dressage.
Oh, God, that sucks.
But you probably, you're going to take a risk doing cross country. So it just made a decision, better safe than sorry.
Well, this is a show about horse husbands, and there you are. I mean, you're in the situation that none of us want to be in. She has worked forever to get to this point of Rolex, and then to have that happen the week before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's fun. She was torn up.
Well, she had to be devastated.
Yeah.
So how do you go about supporting your wife when that happens? Do you sort of take your distance? What works?
Whatever she needed. Right. I unfortunately wasn't there at that moment, so I was doing it from the distance. Fortunately she was with her parents. We all encouraged her to still come down here. Rather than not show up at all, figured being here was better than nothing.
I think that was better.
And why is that?
Well, she needs to be, with the other professionals. She needs to be seen. She needs to be doing what she needs to continue to progress in this sport.
And you know what? Whether you're riding or not, you know, it's still good to come here, one, to represent your sponsors.
Absolutely.
The Bates thing, you know.
That was important.
Yeah, you know, and you've got to be seen. This is still, ultimately, right, it's still a business.
Absolutely.
And you're here to do business as well as ride.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, all the professional riders that ride 10 horses are still doing all their signings and all their stuff because it is a business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this is, you know, something that she's fairly new to as a professional.
How old?
And
she's like 20-something?
She's 25 now.
25.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been riding for a number of years. It's her second year here. You know, absolutely something that she plans to do for a very long time. So,
Does this horse recover quickly from this one?
Yeah, he's going to have about 30 days off, and then he should be fine. She's already kind of planning, you know, plan A, B, C, D, trying to figure out what the next thing she wants to do, and, you know, she'll be here next year. Yeah.
Well, so do you guys come from horses? How did you end up here?
How did we end up here? Well, she got on a horse when she was 4 years old.
So it's your fault?
Yeah. Well, it's my wife's fault and her aunt's fault. Her aunt is Sydney Wilson and been involved with Pony Club forever and kind of got Allie started. And from there, you know, turned in from a hobby into a lifestyle, just like everybody else here. And, you know, from there, you're kind of stuck forever. So, but yeah, I mean, she's loved every minute of it. I mean, this is, you know.
So you've been to a few Pony Club rallies over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, her mother loves it. And this is something that, you know. She knew from, you know, very, very young age.
Okay, but the question is, and this is where he comes in.
Uh-oh.
They say if you get your girls involved in Pony Club and horses, they're not going to find boys till much later.
Well, except ask them where they met.
Pony Club.
I've been around. My dad's he's a retired equine vet. I've been around horses my whole life, pretty much. So we met at Pony Club convention of some kind.
Were you in Pony Club?
Unfortunately, yes.
No, but see now I look back at this and go, if only I'd known and I was in Pony Club, the ratio is like 20 to 1.
I was going to say,
you were going to meet somebody.
But they're all there for the horses.
Exactly.
So my fantasy is not somewhere. Reality. Is that what you're saying? It's not really true.
Where do you rank, Sam? Where do you rank?
Yeah.
Third behind the horse and the dog.
Yeah.
So how did you manage to distract your wife from the horses long enough to have any degree of interest in you?
I'm still working on it. No, it works out pretty well. We're both pretty involved with. Well, she is very involved, and I'm. We both run the business together, basically. So, that's our together time, I guess you could say.
So, what's your division of labor? What do you do in the business versus sort of what she does to sort of support?
I run the farm we live on, and you know, handle
the heavy lifting
logistics for the most part. I don't ride anymore. She trains everything, but I much prefer being on the logistical side of things, sawdust, hay, anything involving equipment.
People used to ask me when she was growing up, do you ride? And I'm like, no, I'm the ground crew. Anything on the ground.
Who does stalls?
If we have working students, they do.
Right.
Mainly because I can't get a skid loader through the door of a stall. So try to avoid it as best I can. But we're still looking for working students as of now, so I might be doing stalls this summer. We'll see.
What's the biggest challenge when it comes to finding a good working student?
Work ethic.
Finding someone who has a great work ethic, mm-hmm. and is willing to work for basically nothing.
Pretty much.
Right.
Difficult.
It's tough sell. Right. So you know, my wife, Elisa Wallace.
You had that problem.
No, my wife, Elisa Wallace, and I, you know, if we don't have a working student, then, you know, I end up doing more stalls than I do if we don't have a working student. And if we don't have a working student, then Elisa does more stalls and other sort of that kind of labor than she would if we did. So we've been working on getting some working students. We have some in now, but we're trying to find that optimum balance. You know, how do you compensate your students sufficiently to ensure that they are, you know, treated fairly? Mm-hmm. And also, what is sort of the optimal length of time that you want them to commit to you and to your facility? Because, you know, as a working student, it's an internship, and you want them to help you, but you're also basically as an employer of sorts, you want to see them succeed in their goals and ambitions. And so the question is, you have someone come in who is looking to become an upper level rider themselves, or you bring someone in whose life's ambition is to become a manager of a facility and this kind of thing. So I guess, what do you look for when you're looking at working students? What do you look for, and what sort of conditions do you apply to that role?
Well,
can you come?
Yes, right now.
Will you show
you
up?
Have, right
can
now,
you
do you
hold
have a heartbeat
a for?
Yeah, exactly. That's
right.
Yeah, it's hard because, like I said, it's not a special. I think we're going into our third or fourth year of business, and you know, we still can't. It's still a unpaid position for sure. So you have to entice them in with, you know, the hope of, you know, that we do let them bring in as many horses as they want because we have room for it, which is, I think, something that not a lot of places can do. A lot of places restricted to one horse.
How many horses do you have?
Well, 8 or 9, 10, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. We have a.
It's bad when you lose count.
Yeah, that's. We have the field out back where there's multiple horses.
There's collection out there.
I'm not sure.
Are you
numbers
moved
might go
into
up or
the
down.
Neighbors' fields yet?
Sometimes the horses themselves
that's
in.
The other problem. Yeah, you know all about that.
Usually,
don't you?
Usually in
sure
the middle
do.
Of the night.
Yeah, exactly.
Same as a little fence maintenance in the morning.
Yeah.
What do you guys have a website?
It's a work in progress.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm working on one right now. We just have the Facebook page right now.
What's that?
It's just Von Saxon Eventing.
Okay.
On Facebook. And the website should be up and running within a month.
Websites, they have a lot of value. It's good to have that sort of online presence, that business card, so to speak. But what I've come to learn very quickly, Glenn, is that the horse world lives on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
That's where they are.
The problem with that is you don't own Facebook. So Facebook goes away or changes all its rules, and it becomes you got to have your own website.
Yeah. I'm not a real big fan of Facebook anyway. Because the Facebook is forever.
Yeah. So
and the internet
that's
to a certain extent too.
That's the reason you have to have your own space that you own.
Yeah. But right now that is it. And Allie does a lot of her business through Facebook.
Yeah.
Actually.
So. No, it's still where business happens. Right.
I think
now.
The future of equestrian social media is Tinder.
Thank you guys for stopping by.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And give Allie our best.
We will. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Well, we're going to gotta tell you a little bit about our title sponsor, Bates Saddles. It puts your horse's comfort first, offering highly specialized saddles for every discipline. Bates Saddles are engineered to bring the best out in you and your horse. Underneath the finest quality European leather, you will feel the power of innovation. Enjoy instant comfort, optimal balance, and seamless contact with your horse, leaving you free to concentrate on your aids, revolutionize your riding experience, and fulfill your true potential in a Bates saddle. If you are at Rolex, you can see the range at horselovers.com where we're set up, or if not, visit BatesSaddles.com. All right. You want to come back? Yeah. So now we're bringing Brian Rutledge back in, who's now on a beer, so he'll be good the rest of the show here.
I've been on a beer the whole time I've been here, pretty much.
Yeah, but he's nursing it. He's had like two sips.
And then there's somebody that you're all going to know the name of his wife.
This is the case in almost every case.
Every case, but especially this case. Especially Jenny Autry is someone that every one of our listeners has heard multiple times on the show. And, of course, you're going to recognize her byline from Eventing Nation. And it's Josh, right?
Yep.
We have her husband, Josh, who I didn't even know existed, to be honest.
They call me the lesser half.
She does not mention you a lot in articles. So I'm just saying.
I would have nothing to add.
You need more space.
No, she's not going to mention me in articles because there'd be nothing to quote me on.
Jenny is terrific, by the way. We've had any time we ask Jenny to come on a show to do anything, she's there. She just, you know, her and Leslie up there, Horse Nation, and everybody that's involved have been just great to work with.
It's rare for her not to be working. I mean, she's intense. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think we both connected way back when, in the 70s or whenever we started dating. And
70s. Like
she's
12.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know. Him. Yeah, he's so old.
He's like 12.
We could play guess his age. No, I'm 32, but I look like I'm 15.
12.
once when I was 22, I got carded in the exit row on a plane because you have to be 16. No lie. Fact.
Well, he's trying to grow a little hair on his chin.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You wouldn't want to see me try and grow a beard. It's the men in my family who've tried. It's rough. Just patches.
Well, now she does a great job, and obviously, Eventing Nation's like number one. But she travels a lot, so you know she's gone a lot.
In the winter, she appreciates it because we live in cold Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and
what
she
part,
enjoys.
By the way,
Harrisburg.
See, we had our farm in Carlisle.
Oh yeah, well Jenny worked in Carlisle for 3 years. She was one of the editors at the Carlisle Sentinel.
Oh really?
Yeah, right when she first got out of school, that was her original journalism job, and then her passion for horses and I guess career of journalism collided, and now she's doing her dream job.
I worked on an office building in Front Street.
Oh,
for a
where'd
long
you work?
Time in Harrisburg. I worked for an insurance company that was on Front Street. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm right downtown. I mean, I worked on the West Shore for a little bit, and then I worked in Lancaster for a while. But yeah, I work right downtown. Everybody else here is like,
God, what the hell are you guys talking about?
What is this?
Hey, I can tell you a story about Harrisburg.
City. Everybody
yeah, you have
about?
One?
I have a good story about
yeah,
Harrisburg.
Yeah, what's that? Okay. Can we tell it on the air?
Yeah, I can tell it on the air.
Then it might not be that good.
Yeah, it might not be that good since we can tell it on the air. No, I was coming. I dropped Colleen off at Buck Davidson's. They were going
in
over.
Chester, to, down in Chester.
Yeah,
down,
they were going yep. to Poe. And yeah. Buck, first time I'd ever driven the truck and trailer. So I had no choice. So I dropped her off there.
I'm imagining it's not a little two horse either.
No. It was the five horse slant load and all that at the time. We got a bigger one now. But Buck gave me the wrong directions, and I went left instead of right, and I ended up in Harrisburg, downtown Harrisburg.
You were supposed to be going to Jersey?
No. I already dropped Colleen. Colleen was spending the night at Buck Davidson's because they were leaving for New York to fly out to go to Poe.
Gotcha.
And I had dropped him off, and he told me to go left instead of right, and I should have went right, but I ended up in downtown Harrisburg. Don't ask me how. Got lost. I was doing U-turns with his truck and trailer in downtown Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
There's some good sections of downtown.
That's actually Harrisburg's motto. You accidentally drove here.
There's no other reason.
You didn't. So you say that you and Jenny are both very intense and motivated people, passionate. What are you passionate about other than Jenny?
Well, I'm a lawyer, so I have to be semi-passionate about the law.
Are you government downtown?
Well, not state government.
Okay.
Yeah, Harrisburg's Pennsylvania's capital.
Yeah.
But I do government work for municipalities, so I mostly represent police officers, prison guards.
Okay, we already talked about the fact that you look like you're 16. Do you walk into offices and they go, "Where's the lawyer?"
Well, it depends. If I put a tie on, it helps a little bit. But still, I've been off mistaken for paralegals, this, that, and the other. All you have to do is project like you know what you're talking about. And then quickly that dissipates.
Yeah, act authoritative. And
Whether you know the answer to the question or not, if you say an answer, decisively, people believe you.
So a lawyer and a journalist.
And, okay, so this is a question that I've been waiting to ask guests for a while. And right now we have two guests, both of whom are consuming a Wobbly Pop, a beer.
A who?
Where'd you get Wobbly Pop?
A Wobbly Pop.
What
a Wobbly
region
is
this
Canadian
from?
Thing?
Yeah, I don't know what a Wobbly Pop is.
It's Canadian, I'm sure. Or maybe it's just an Canadian thing, like me. But, okay, so we've got the beer. I know that, infamously, Jenny has a great fondness for white wine.
Yes.
But us guys, we come to a horse show, and we like to drink the beer. But the big question is, well, what is the best horse show beer? What is your sort of standby?
I am drinking it right now.
What is that?
It's the Kentucky Bourbon
Ale.
Yeah. I love it.
Every time I come here, that's the only thing I drink.
Yeah, I could tell by how dark it was.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's got the bourbon stuff.
Josh hated his.
This is legitimately not sponsored. No, yes, but this is really good.
This is good stuff. And I love coming. Actually, I did the tour 2 years ago, and I was thinking about doing it today, where you get like 5 free tickets.
Oh, downtown?
Downtown, yeah. The Altec,
that's a neat place. Yeah, Altec.
Yeah.
So. Well, I had not had it before, and it's one of those things. Jenny had it for the first time, oddly enough, in France for WEG. They were at a bar that was serving it, and, you know, it was one of the beers on tap. Yes. And she was like, this is amazing. You've got to try it. And, you know, this weekend, obviously, they have it. It's fantastic.
Well, I got to tell you guys now, I got a booze story. So we did the 2010 World of Question Games radio show. And we got to know Dr. Lyons at Altec, who's the head of Altec, very well. Well, I have a signed bottle of one of the first bottles of Town Branch bourbon that was the same place that makes the ale.
Right.
So I have a signed bottle from him, and we've never opened it. It's sitting on the shelf because it's like I'm imagining it's going to be worth a fortune someday.
Again, no lie, this is not sponsored content, but we're probably going there today.
To Town Branch? Down to the
figured out.
That's among the discussion topics.
Well, you know, it is dressage day. You can cut out of here real early.
Oh, I always do on dressage day, especially you know, since
they're
my wife's
done
not
already.
Going to my wife didn't have anything. Actually, I was up there announcing for they had a celebrity games for the Pony Club, and Colleen was doing it. And I was up there. I was being the announcer up there.
Okay, I had a question. You guys can answer this. I had a question from a listener this morning that asked, "Do the other riders go watch all the other riders when they're done?" Do it in dressage?
Sometimes.
Not a lot.
No.
It probably depends on whether they're close with the other rider.
Yeah, but they're not going to sit there all day.
It's hard to watch dressage if you don't have a vested interest in the person on the horse.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Elisa and Rick, they do as much as they can. The problem is not a function of interest. The problem is a function of time.
You say that as Elisa just walked by with an armful of shops. She was out shopping.
No, she's spending time with sponsors, which, again, occupies a great deal of
time. Yeah, actually, my wife is down there at the VTO.
They all doing signings.
She's signings right now.
Yeah.
Right?
This
is like if Elisa could spectate more, she would love the opportunity. You know, not only because she's interested, but also because, you know, it's nice to show support for other riders as much as you can. But again, it's a function of time, and all the riders have the same sort of constraints put upon them.
Right, and my wife walks the cross country course literally like 10 times before cross country.
Yeah, people don't realize how many times they walk that.
She walks
and they can't take bikes or carts or anything out there. They have to walk.
Well,
it.
And dressage is a good time for that. I mean, that's when most riders do the walking.
Right.
Yeah, naturally. I mean, she'll walk it one time. She'll even walk it again tomorrow morning before cross country even starts.
If it was me, I would get a drone. This is what I would do. I would get a drone and I would fly the cross country course, and then efficiently,
you're such a geek.
I can just watch that footage over and
They have to walk.
Again.
You know, I know you're unhorsemanlike,
though,
and
right?
I'm learning through osmosis. But I know this. They're trying to learn like the distances and stuff.
Right.
You can't do that with a drone.
And they actually walk the
GPS.
Steps the horse is going to walk.
Yep. GPS. Yeah.
Lawyered.
Actually, not lawyered. This is just pure nerd response. Actually, a drone might be able to do that better. Because you're just guesstimating a horse's stride based upon your steps. You could actually have an algorithm that could give you an exact, for your horse, how many strides it would be.
Okay,
you've lost your mind.
And all of those words,
you've lost every rider.
Has no idea what you're talking about.
Well, hence we have things like, you know, our good friend Nick Hintz, founder of the CourseWalk app, right? Who is, you know, he's a nerd, he's a geek, right?
Yeah.
And so he develops
Sounds
an
like
app
you.
So that... You know, you can walk the course once. You don't
I'm
need your
bullied.
Wheel thingy. You rely on GPS, and you get a, you know, decent sense of what's happening on course, and you can replay it over and over again in photographs and video. What I hear, though, is that makes total sense to us, like horse husbands and geeks. If you're a rider,
you probably want to feel it.
You want to feel
it.
It's that tactile experience. It's why, you know, we were talking earlier about... barn help and having people help with doing stalls. Elisa, she needs the help. She wants the help. And at the same time, she doesn't want to give up that day-to-day tactile experience. She doesn't want to give up the...
But, you know, I know Joe Meyer. He said that, you know, he'll walk at it 8 times, and then he goes out by himself. He said, I don't want anybody else with me. He walks out So he'll be out there early tomorrow morning, right, walking it by himself.
That's what my wife does. She'll walk with anybody who wants to walk with her, but that last time,
yep,
is hers. So it's in her head.
And she does that tomorrow morning.
Yeah, yep. She'll do that tomorrow morning, and then she goes in before cross country. And you were saying about watching the other riders.
Yeah.
Last year she didn't see another ride go because she was first out on course. And she was near last out on course. She doesn't watch other riders go until after she's done because mm-hmm. she doesn't want things in her head changing her mind about what she wants.
Because you've made a plan, and then you're going to, yeah.
You've interviewed her. She
exactly.
makes a plan,
yep.
and she sticks with it. So, yep. And then she has her brand new, this is her monkey, Escott 6, his first 4-star. So this is another one that's why she...
Is he a mutter?
Huh?
Is he a mutter?
You know what? He's a cool jumper. That's all I know. He gets so much height. It's not even funny. He's from Germany. He's a Hanoverian. So we'll find out if he's a mutter, hopefully, tomorrow.
And Jenny's still riding, right?
She is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her horse, oh, poor thing, has gone through injury after injury. But, you know, she's looking good. She's happy. She's in a new barn. And, you know, I think Jenny's ready to get back going down that path.
Is her ultimate goal a 4-star level? Or
you know, I think at this point she wants to just get into the intermediate, the advanced, you know, with the horse she's on. It's a young horse. It's an off the track. And, you know, it's been through a bunch of injuries. So
didn't it, like, get attacked or something in the field and they don't even know what attacked it?
Yeah,
like a big chunk.
Her horse had a mysterious, just deep gash in I believe it was the left shoulder, one of the shoulders, and it ended up being over like 200 stitches to
Bear?
Fix it. And no idea. It would be hard for a slash to get that deep. So it seems like it would have either been
cut,
like falling on a really spiked rock. Or something, maybe with a snout. I don't know. It was deep. I mean, the vet that did the surgery was basically entire hand could go into the wound, and so that was quite an injury to recover from. But again, you know, she's had an unlucky stretch. Her horse Mia, or Miss Shigon, was her racing name, but she's looking good now. I think she's happy.
Poor Jenny. And then she has to cover all these other horses who are perfectly healthy, right? I mean, that's got to suck.
You know, but I think that sort of goes to the variables in the sport, you know? I mean, it really is, you know, high highs, low lows. And I think Jenny would be the first person to say that.
Yeah, it truly is.
So how do you occupy your time at Rolex? So Jenny's super, super busy. She's talking to everybody, and she's doing business. And you're not lawyering.
Well, in the mornings I have been.
You've been lawyering in the mornings.
The beer's empty. Does that give you a clue?
I see that.
Technically, I'm still on call until 5 in case things happen, as long as courts are open. But generally speaking, you know, as long as I don't have court, which obviously I didn't today or yesterday, I can plan my work that I've got to do accordingly. So yesterday and today, I got up pretty early and just worked until noon, 1-ish, and got everything done that I needed to do. And this afternoon, I'm coming. I found Brian, found you guys. We're having a beer. We might go visit the brewery.
Can I tell you what we did yesterday afternoon?
Yeah.
Leslie, I can never say her last name.
Wiley.
Coyote.
Coyote, okay.
Yeah.
She decided she wanted to get a horse husband's commentary on dressage.
Oh,
so she pulled me.
Is that available somewhere? I will play it on this show.
It's not yet because it was recorded. We should have just recorded the audio. We recorded the video so it actually captures the performances. And because of the contracts, this, that, or the other.
Oh,
anyway,
you can't play it yet.
You can't play the video. But anyway. Leslie's putting some together with the audio of my ignorant comments about
the
size. I was talking about, oh, look, it's doing the moonwalk, you know, when it's doing the rear.
But that's what they call it, right?
The sideways trot,
we're talking about
diagonally.
We're talking about the clothes, yeah. And, you know, they ought to wear Under Armour instead of these long tails, and they look like they're cleaning chimneys, the ones who wear
the top hats.
You know, so
I was ignorantly asking about the positioning of the judges.
Yeah.
Because you have the two next to each other, and then you have the one on the side.
She was pretty impressed because we did two riders, and I got their scores right on both of the horses.
Yeah, his margin of error was small. So with Boyd, I think he guessed, you guessed 44.2, and it was 44.6.
Wow.
When it actually came through.
Look at you. You could be an FEI judge.
Yeah, Ryan Wood.
And Ryan Wood, it was like 56.9, and I guessed 56.4.
So how do you guess so accurately, Brian? What's your trick? Do you actually know what's going on?
If you know the algorithm by heart, I would like to know some of the numbers and stuff like that. You know, I've done this enough. I've been doing
around
this.
The block.
Yeah, I've been doing this for. I've been with my wife for 15 years. You know, so it's I've gotten to know it.
Well, guys, thank you so much for stopping by. We're going to keep it short today. These guys want to go out and drink, so we don't want to hold them up. Are you going along?
Well, this wasn't stopping us from drinking.
You think you can sneak away from Elisa long enough to...
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I'll report back on our next show.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for stopping by. Appreciate
it.
We're
going
to be back here. Thank you, Timothy.
Good Thank to you, Glenn. See you.
We're going to stop by back here tomorrow morning. Jamie will be back. We're going to do another episode here, and we'll try and get out by noontime. Or not tomorrow morning. I'm sorry. Saturday is cross country day, so we are not going to be on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll have we'll record a show and put it out immediately. If you want to, you should. Not if you want to, you should be watching USEF Network tomorrow to watch cross country. It is actually better than being here because you get to see more of the jumps, and you get the narration and the commentary and everything. So it's really good that way. Where can people find all of your pictures of Elisa?
Well, daily, this is sort of why I say I don't exactly know if I have very much disposable time, is because each day we are producing competition footage from Elisa. We have a vlog and also the Mustang work that she's been doing. So for that information and that video, go to youtube.com/Wallace Eventing. Follow her on Facebook at facebook.com/Wallace Eventing. Google Wallace Eventing, wallaceeventing.com, Wallace Eventing. And for more horse hubby action, to get sort of the husband's perspective on all this, visit www.horsehubby.com.
You've had some good articles lately about it, too. And, of course, Eventing Nation.
Yes.
I mean, everybody
Naturally. Knows
that. Yeah. So.
You didn't have to say it.
No, I didn't have to say it. All right, everybody, we'll see you.
All right.